This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And then he went back home to Zimbabwe, but only he is the grand imam of the Karaya Central Masjid and the head of the Muslim Department of Zimbabwe. Without taking any further action, I would request the Sheikh to come forward. I was going to request only to discuss some portions of the Holy Quran, but the Imam Abdul Rahman told me that the Sheikh would decide to invert some of the Holy Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن يعمل من الصالحات وهو مؤمن فلا كفران لسعيه وإنا له كاتبون وحرام على قرية أهلكناها حتى إذا فتحت يأجوج ومأجوج وهم من كل حدث ينسلون وقضى من وعد الحق فإذا هي شاخصة الأبصار الذين كفروا يا ويلنا قد كنا في غفلة من هذا بل كنا ظالمين إنكم وما تعبدون من دون الله حصب جهنم أنتم لها واردون لو كان لهم فيها زفير وهم فيها لا يسمعون إن الذين سبقت لهم منا لا يسمعون حسيسها وهم فيما اشتهت أنفسهم خالدون لا يحزنهم الفزع الأكبر وتتلقاهم الملائكة هذا يومكم الذي يوم نطوي السماء كطي السجل للكتب كما بدأنا على أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون We have not sent you for any other purpose than to be a point of complete mercy for the world, for creation. So anyone who follows the method of Rasulullah SAW of life, they will see success in the dunya firstly. They will see happiness in the dunya firstly. They will see contentment in the dunya firstly. And then they will get the ultimate goal, which is Jannah. In the Akhirah, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. So, what is it that we should start with? We should start with what we do most every day. What do I do most? What am I doing right now? What do you do most? What are you doing right now? Some might say that what I do most and what you do most is breathe. So I need to know how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam breathe so that I can breathe in that manner. But some might argue that no, I talk more than I breathe. Because we all talk, some of us speak in our sleep, then we have to quickly remind the day, then I'll say something that will disappoint the people around you. Don't let out secrets. That's why it's important to ask those who sleep in the same room, do I speak when it might be? And if they say yes you do, well, what do I say? You better be saying something sensible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, not let us from amongst those who speak in their sleep. So let us start with the breath. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to breathe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about something very important. He said, بَشِّرِ الْمَشَّارِينَ فِي الظُّلَمِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ بِالنُّورِ السَّامِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Give good news to those who walk in the masjid in the darkest hours of the night. Meaning for Salat al-Isha and Salat al-Fajr. Those who walk in the darkness in the masjid, give them good news of a complete noor of the day of Qiyamah, they will be recognized by the noor, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that here. One wonders, why am I mentioning this? And yet we're speaking about breathing. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get up very early. And when he used to breathe the morning air, he used to take some deep breaths. You know, today people, what amazes us is they go to seek assistance from either the doctor or a parent from those experts of yogi and reka and some of the haram means, here I am speaking of yoga, the art of living, they call it reiki, that is actually Hinduism. In other words, they don't tell it to us, but that is what it is. Hinduism is the worship of nature. And that is exactly what we do. Because we Hindus have lost a lot of Hindu Islam many, many years ago in India. So they decided to get these people back without calling what we are calling them towards Hinduism, let's bring them back by calling it yoga, by calling it the art of living, by calling it Reiki, and making them feel the power. So they will sit next to a tree, and the big tree will say, "Let's close your eyes." They will close their eyes. They will tell them that there's nothing to do with religion, nothing at all. So big Muslims will go there, and they will say, "Now you need to feel the power of the tree getting you." They call it the Karana. The power of the tree will come in, you close your eyes and feel it, and the fool will say that I can hear it. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us. Yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us as God. He taught us so many other things. In fact, they will tell us, close your eyes. They close your eyes. Then, when we close our eyes, they say, take a deep breath from your nose and breathe out from your mouth. If you were to send the pages of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find it there. What is insult to the head of creation, the one we are meant to be following, that we don't even know enough of his Sunnah, that we have not asked the non-Muslims for guidance? Allahu Akbar, Allah forbid. So it is important that I learn his method of breathing, how he breathes. He also has deep breath of the fresh air early in the morning. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam normally breathes from his nose and out from his mouth. That is quite wrong. Obviously, some people who may have a major problem, it is not possible at times for them. But what I would like to mention for my brothers and for yours today, if you have a small intention within your heart to say, "I'm breathing in from my nose," because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam breathes, it becomes a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you learn maybe all of one sinner per breath. One sinner per breath. Then the text is talking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he used to speak. Remember, he was the best of creation, top of humanity, what was the ruler, the most honored of all the Anbiya, you know, he was the highest in rank. And what had the best of entire creation, better than Hindu, better than Jibreel, I mean, who came down to him? That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, when he spoke, he first gave, see, one is the volume. So we speak of the volume first. The age, how many people he was speaking to. If it was one, he spoke in such a way that he did not disturb the others. And he also spoke in such a way that they did not get the feeling that the two were having a secret talk about this. Once some companions were doing that, and he reprimanded them, he said, look, when there are three people or four people, let two of them not, let them not go aside and speak in such a manner that it may create a few feeling in the heart of the other. And if it gets to see them, we are not going to be doing that. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his volume was perfect, no crackle. Today, we are here, we need a microphone, we need speakers. When he spoke to 100 people, he raised his volume. Imagine, automatic raising of volume for the 100, he would not disturb others. Who heard were those who were meant to hear. So with us, surely when we are speaking in our houses, we know that there is this country, some of the houses are close to each other. Do we scream and yell in a manner that we disturb the neighbors? That is the case. We are not following the Sunnah of Rasulullah. So we need to speak in a manner that we don't disturb others, especially the neighbors, especially those who are around. And more so, at times we might become people in our own home. We want to speak maybe to the children, or we want to listen to the cassette, or we want to listen to some CD of Quran or what have you. If we have to raise the volume when there are members of our own family wanting to speak, we are against the Sunnah of Rasulullah. We are disturbing someone by volume. For what? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his whole life, he did not disturb anyone with his volume. Neither when he was speaking, nor when others were speaking to him. And when others spoke to him, he reprimanded them immediately. You know what they say? Yes, sometimes in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people come and greet us. Yes, greeting, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam is fine. One, two questions regarding the deen or regarding something deen is okay in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to begin to ask about the dunya of humanity, we need to walk out of that. Allah is given a great, what we call their disrespect of the house of Allah, the angels that are protecting the village, they may be engaged in various forms of ibadah. They might be human beings that are there. We are meant to be walking right out that. So if someone comes to you and they want to talk to you, as you are holding their hand, slowly walk towards the door with the intention that, Ya Allah, I do not want to disrespect your house. And I'd like to fulfill the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dunya and speech will be outside the door. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah. So how the volume that he spoke, I said, he never had a yell when he spoke to a few people. And then the hadith says, when he spoke to the bulk of his companions together, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila khatara, when he gave a khutbah, when he delivered the lecture on a Friday, the lecture was full, joking, at times we did not have these microphones and so on. إِخْمَرْ رَعِنَهُ عَلَى رَوْمُهُ وَاشْتَبْتَرَ رَوْمُهُ كَعَنَّهُ مُنْبِرُ جَيْشٍ يَكُونُ مَطَّحَةٍ مُؤَسَّرٍ They would answer when he wanted to deliver a powerful message, a serious message. He would raise his voice, his eyes would become slightly red, and it was as though he was the owner of the army, telling him, hey, this is how we shall arrive in the evening, and this is what will happen in the morning, and so on. So, different messages require different volumes. Like when we are speaking to our children, if we have a beautiful message, or to our wife, or to the husband in the case of the wife, or to anyone we would like to talk to, we need to ask ourselves, what is the message I'd like to deliver? If it is a message of great importance, then I need to have a volume which will really portray the fact that my message is important. And if it is every month in the child, I cannot say, to a little child. He won't look at the importance of what I'm trying to say. Maybe I need to tell him, why did you do this? In a very nice way. But at the same time, still enough For him to know that my father is serious, or my brother, or my mother is serious. And I don't need to scream at the top of my voice. This is the Sunnah of Rasulullah. We can go on and on speaking about the volume. The volume is what we are talking about. So we need to become conscious, inshallah. And it's believing that it is the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to use the correct volume and the correct tone of speech when we are speaking. It's not very difficult. We are all people with brains. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us understanding. We know what is regarded as good speech. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never hurt people with his speech. Let's speak about the next thing. What kind of speech did he use? When Rasulullah wanted to say something, he always chose the best word to relay what was in his heart to the people he was speaking to. So, for example, if he wanted to tell someone not to relate in the masjid, this is an example of what happened to an Arabi, a Bedouin man, who walked into the masjid, and he urinated in one corner of the masjid. So the Sahaba went on and became very angry, and sure, a lot of us have heard the narration. And they wanted to stop him halfway once he was urinating. Rasulullah, he was quick thinking. You know, we have computers today where someone might tell you the processing speed is 2 gigabytes and so on. That is all very slow. Rasulullah was inspired directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever he did, Allah said, وَمَا تَنْفُقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He never ever uttered anything from his own desire. Everything he uttered was revelation from Allah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quickly, he said, that is the moment. Don't stop this man. Don't reprimand him. See, he might get thinking, he makes him stop halfway. How can someone want to humiliate him? Block their humiliation? They need to be an expert. I'm not a projector. I don't even think an expert would be able to do that. In fact, the Prophet of Allah said, in moderation, you will make him sick. You might make him sick. He might suffer an infection for what happened. That was quick. Now this man does the same thing, isn't he? Now he knows him. Oh, what I've done is wrong. Already he knew what I've done is wrong. By the Prophet of Allah, stopping those who were trying to reprimand him to say, hang on, this is not the method. This is not the method. Which means, look, what he's done is wrong. We deal with it and I'm sure you how to deal with it. So the Prophet of Allah, very quick, he called this man and he told the Sahaba, take a pail of water and pour it on that urination. While they were bringing it back for his consideration, he made them busy so that they could not hear how he was about to tell the person, meaning that the man would not feel bad to say, look, in front of everyone he told me. Even our children, sometimes when we reprimand them in public, they feel very hurt. They begin to defy us sometimes. We need to reprimand our children in sight. Or if other men might have some speech between them that they want to clarify, they misunderstand it. Don't do it in the presence of the children, nor should we do it in the public. Sometimes you find the women in public place, husband is yelling at wife, and wife is yelling at husband. Is that the sunnah? Do we think that is what is expected of Islam and the Muslims? We who are dressed Islamically, our women in Yahweh in Hijab, or better seen Islamically, when we begin to yell at each other in public, who do we belittle? Who do the non-Muslims who are watching us think bad about? They won't think bad about us. They will think bad about our religion. And they will think bad about the man who brought that goodness to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are not to consider those around us when we are speaking to one another, we may just be insulting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is important that we handle ourselves in a manner that we treat ourselves as ambassadors of the deen. Where there is an ambassador of a certain country, he makes sure that whatever he says, whatever he utters, will benefit his country in one way or another. Is that not true? It's true. If you meet any representative of any company, they will utter a word of benefit for that company in one way or another. And if someone is doing anything or saying anything that is detrimental to their company, they will probably utter a word or two to try and stop that. So surely, when Muhammad but it's far more important than any company or any country that is being represented by any director or any ambassador. So if we are, every single one of us, we are representatives of this gene, surely we need to think about how we are speaking when we are speaking in public or when we are talking. So Rasulullah, he said, look, the message I want to get across to this particular individual is that he should not be wrong for me. So how, what is the best way that this message can be delivered to him? And then he sits down. He says, praise Allah, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let him stand and just illuminate with the message. We cannot picture that because we have arrived at a level where if someone were to think of illuminating the message, we would probably get hold of it and beat him up no matter what. We are not in South Africa, otherwise on their face we will probably shot to death. So, when this man is saying in front of the whole of the Lord, this is the house of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this place is for reading Quran, this place is for the leader of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this place is for ibadah, this place is for salah. It's not for these kind of things. But, follow. This man was in tears, he was in tears. Why? Because the words that were chosen by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to achieve the same thing that the other wanted to achieve were so beautiful that they brought tears to the eyes of the man. Moments ago, he was quite upset because people wanted to really get hold of him. And now he began to cry and he was so touched that he said, Allahumma arhamni wa arham Muhammad wa la arham Muhammad ahad. Allah has mercy on me and has mercy on this man who spoke to me in the highest day, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't have mercy on anybody else. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told him again, now there's something else we need to tell. You know what? The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, it's not quickly understood, it is so powerful, it is so great that you are trying to make it narrow and it does not become that. What happened? The words are so beautiful that the message already goes to the gentleman to say, you cannot decide whom Allah will have mercy on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on Allah. So the message I'm trying to give is we need to think of the word before we utter what we want to utter. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you made a mistake. If I come up and say, this is not a, you made a very big mistake, and I don't know you, what is going to be the result? I don't know you. It's a mistake. You know, but you can make a mistake if I say one. That's the attitude of the unconscious. If you tell them you made a mistake, they keep quiet and tell you all mistakes. It happens, I know. But if you say, you know what, mashallah, now, speak about two of the good qualities that a man might have, then say, you know what? I think it would actually be very, very useful if you could even do this. So make it positively. If someone is not coming to the masjid, rather than saying, why don't you come to the masjid? Tell them, you know what? Look at the guy that wants to go to the masjid. So it's a positive statement. And it changes with the changing of time, meaning the type of word you use might change with the situation. If your own child, you might change with the different. Sometimes we speak to our own family members in a way that we chase them away from us, without being aware of that. We do know people, and you know what I know. We are living in a country which is quite free, where our children follow you. They might say, that I don't need you. I can go and get something on my own. I can go and get something from here and there. So if we are not exemplary there, we might just lose our children. We are living in an environment that is really tired. So it is important to speak to our children in this way. And respect to that. And the Prophet said, Sayyukum is a being, the best one amongst you. He's not the one who reads for our right hand today and so on. He is the one who is best to his spouse and to his family members. I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself, every single one of us, how good am I in anyone else? What can my children say about me? What can my wife say about me? The case of the women, what can my husband say about me? If they have good words, we are heading in the right direction. If they don't, we need to ask ourselves why. Let me try and not create a cat and mouse relationship in the house, but rather let me have a beautiful relationship whereby they can feel the warmth of the sunnah of Allah. So So that requires the wording of Rasulullah and the Quran. And the Quran speaks about, when the Quran speaks about Ibadur Rahman, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, we all know that Ibadur Rahman means the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most powerful of whom was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. The two worshippers of Allah, they are the ones who, when they walk on the earth, they walk with humility. And if you pass not to slow, not camping their feet, not tiptoeing, Allah. That's the meaning of Qawlan. And I'm going to mention that inshallah. The walking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the next verse, Allah says, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The true worship of Allah, when the heathen speak to them, the maximum they have is peace be upon you. Sometimes even our ulama and our rulers, they taught us that certain people don't go beyond the salam alaykum alaykum salam with them. Why? Because sometimes they might be on a different wavelength. They might be on a different wavelength. The example that I have heard from some of the academics, and I always use this, is that sometimes the brain capacity of a person is 2 kg, which is cured. 2 kg. And maybe your system is 5 kg. So take 5 kg of meat and try to put it in a box which takes only 2 kg. Will you finish? You'd rather just leave it on the side of the head and keep your body in shape. Allah Allah. So the thing of life, once you brain capacity is 2 kg, our system is 5 kg. If they're going to make it to that, what's the habit? They just don't be good. They won't understand. So I'm too quiet that their tanks be slightly empty, but at least they're not contaminated them with half of speech, misunderstood speech. So for that reason, sometimes those who are mischief makers, those who are problematic, those who have caused problems for us, the maximum we would probably relate with them would be, Salaamu Alaikum wa Alaikum wa Salaam. How are you? I'm fine. That's it. We don't need to go beyond that. I mean, the kind of thing that the true worship of Allah, Allah is to that part of the world, you have to do that. Oh, salam. They said salam, peace be upon you. We don't want, as they say, a good time. We don't want to stamp our hands on everybody. He means the same. Now let's get to the next issue. It's very interesting. We spoke about the speech, and I only spoke about two aspects of the speech. One is the voice, and one is the words that are chosen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in fact, before I continue, there is one more item of the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I must tell you. It's important. لَوْ عَدَّهُ الْعَادُ لَأَحْصَاهُ. That is the description of the speech of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith. The Sahaba said he spoke so clearly that if a person wanted to count the number of words that came out of his mouth, they would be able to count them. That's how clearly he spoke. He never chewed words. Never. So when we speak, do not chew words. He never spoke slang. There is a hadith which tells us, do not speak slang, because it will reduce your respect to Allah. When we speak slang, what does it do to us? We don't realize, but it reduces our overall value. Yeah. When a person goes to an official meeting, do you ever find them speaking slang? No. Why? Because they know this is something which is connected to my state and dignity, whether I'm a director of a company trying to market a product, or whether I'm on an official occasion, I need to speak clearly. Why don't we realize on a daily basis we need to speak clearly? Sometimes what irritates a lot is when you run to the telephone and people say, "Come." What did you say? I know you said As-salamu alaykum, that was pathetic. As-salamu alaykum is a very great ibadah. Why must I explain it? As-salamu alaykum. Speak beautifully. Learning, in fact, greet with the speech, if I can say that. Greet with clarity. Proper clarity. As-salamu alaykum. And you should know you can do that. You already have 10 rewards. If you say, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you say, wa barakatuh, you have 30. Even if you want more people, let's say, As-salamu alaykum, I told you to tell you, ask you how you are. You already got so many more watching. Your reward for saying As-salamu alaykum. Their automatic reward for saying alaykum as-salam, you get another 10 because of your salam, they reply. So you have instigated an act of worship, but that's why I was taking the salam. A person who instigates an act of worship gets an equivalent reward intent and your sister is not in the case of the female, and even your relatives, you actually receive a wife, which means to maintain good relations with your own relatives to ask them, how are you? Alhamdulillah, I am fine. And if you say that about you, people will get a shock. I hope the phone goes back and I'm not jammed after the election. May Allah protect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understand it. But the point I'm making is there are some issues we take for granted which are being actual pressure. Why can we not speak freely when we are on the telephone? When I speak freely, I will tell myself the only reason I'm doing this is because our beloved genius, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that reason I'm doing it. If you're letting a reward in it, I'm going to be shocked. But if you ask that, you're letting a reward because you're speaking freely to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you read the Quran, Allah, he read so beautiful. So beautiful. Imagine, I cannot describe the reading. Today we get excited when we hear the day that Shulayn and Mahmoud and Ajab and Lake and all the other leaders of the world, we get happy and excited to fill our eyes and listen. What is Muhammad Majid ibn al-Qibla'i al-Ashmini al-Qashi of Allah alayhi wa sallam? Can you think for a moment how we know that it was found? Allahu Akbar. So, we need to try our best. When we read the Quran, we clear. When we speak, we clear. Whatever we are saying, properly. When we are using language, use simple language. When we read Hadith of Rasulullah, he warns us from using complicated words to try and boast to the people. This man is going to English. No, use easy words. Even if you want to utter, for this man knows the language. Don't speak in high words that the people need now or a dictionary know. What does this man say? No. Simple terms which are understood by everyone. The Prophet of Allah, Ali wa sallam, those are the words he used. Very simple, very straightforward. He never made a mistake in the way he spoke. Never, ever. Like I said just now, Rasulullah, Ali wa sallam, his first word and his last word were the same as the written word. Sometimes a person says, and I'm going back to the telephone because you cannot really see the person, so you must hear more carefully. They say, they want to ask, can I please speak to Abdullah? For example, so you get it in, ask me to Abdullah. Ask me to Abdullah. What are you talking about? What are you saying? Speak clearly, you're a Muslim. A Muslim, we should be able to distinguish between a Muslim and a person who has not been taught by the clarity of their speech. Does that happen today? No. Why? Because we forgot that our speech is also part of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us in memory and in memory. So, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When there was something important, the hadith says, he repeated it thrice. He repeated it three times when there was something important. When he spoke to children, he spoke to them on their level. Hadithun yata ala sallam yukuni. Speak to people according to the level of their mind. When you are speaking to a president, you can't go give it. Can't go give in. No, that's not a Muslim. But when you are speaking to a child, you can't say, excuse me, sir. You can't. So we all know it's common sense, but why don't we understand it is part of the teaching of the beautiful religion? That the hadith says, مَا تَرَكَ كَيْرًا إِلَّا وَبَلَّنَا عَلَيْهِ وَلَا شَرًا إِلَّا أَثَرَنَا مِنْهُ. The Prophet of Allah عليه وسلم did not forget to teach us any good to the law, nor did he forget to remind us of staying away from any form of evil. All of that is spoken about, he reminded us, his sunnah itself is that text. Now tell me, if you are speaking so clearly, you choose your words, and so on, surely we will succeed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, moving to the walking method of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا, the verse that I just translated moments ago, Allah says that the true worship of Allah is how we walk, then I should know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most true of all worshippers. So he never did walk like. How did he walk? How then? He was never rushing, never. And he never ever shook when he walked. His camel never bound him around the camel while he was on it. Or his donkey, or his horse. Never. He never shook. And he never rushed. The hadith of Rasulullah, the description of his walking was that he took steps which were quite big, not so small. But they were not regarded as normal. Not the moment, but the Sahaba say there was a miracle. Unusual of the street is a miracle of Rasulullah. When he walked, the earth crumbled underneath his feet. So the Sahaba could not keep up with him unless they walked very fast. SubhanAllah. The third was so privileged to have the greatest of feet on it that the earth now that he made it easy for the greatest creature to walk. It crumbled underneath his feet so that he could cross greater ground and walk. And he never, ever, ever did. He never rushed and never walked so slowly that people got tired and they thought maybe he's going to it. No! He knew there was a point A, there was a point B. He knew, he chose his route. Do you know it is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Not only upon the occasion of Eid. The occasion of Eid, we find the sunnah. It is written that you go with one route, you come back with another route, with a takbir and so on. Not only on the occasion of Eid, but every single occasion. Whether you go to the masjid, you go to the shop, plan your route. Think about it soon as you put it. You know what? I'm going there. I'll use this route and that route. Or I'll use the normal route that I use. I'm going to start off that. Or today you'll be happy. So let me not use this route to go to Manchester. Let me use the other route. That itself is already part of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a plan. He had a point A and a point B. And when he went, he was focused. كان رواه من الأرض أفضل من نهره من السماء صلى الله عليه وسلم. When he looked, his looking down was more than his looking up. He looked at the sky higher than he looked at the ground. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was focused and he made sure he was getting from point A to point B. We'll ask what happened. You know, I do not like to mention. Sometimes we forget where we are actually going. Then it's a very good. It happens sometimes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this. Sometimes we are going from point A to point B and we see something. That thing might be halal or haram, we don't know, depending on the category of the person who's actually traveling, and it diverts us to the degree that sometimes we forget the point B. We forget that we set out from home for a certain purpose, and we end up at C. Allah protects us. So, to be focused is part of the Sunnah of Muhammad when we are going somewhere. Another thing, he never began to speak half. And he never even tiptoed. Tiptoe meaning walk so lightly as though he was a little man. It never happened. No. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he walked calmly, humility, humbleness. You know the Quran says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subscribes to walk of those who are Arabic, who are the ones, Allah says, you are not going to make a moment to say, don't think the stand will be back. Yeah. You know there's a new walk that comes to us from across the ocean, that will protect us. Some of our children might even be back to that time of a walk, not realizing that these springs that we automatically create under our feet make us reflective. What dignity do we have? Islam prepares every single Muslim to become leaders. If I live as a Muslim, people will look up to me with dignity no matter what. I know how to speak, what I say, good words, no swear words, no vulgarity, nothing. I speak in a good manner in my house, out of my house. I'm very polite, I walk correctly, I drive correctly, take their car. So if you want to apply what I just said now, don't go beyond the speed limit and don't drive so slow that the man can anything about you. Drive more heavy. فَيُنْقُمُونِ وَالْقُمُّهَا The best of our men is the one in the middle, in the middle door. That is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, when we are driving, we don't finish our motor vehicle round the bend and on two wheels. Allahu Akbar, that's not the sunnah. What example or what is how we portray of Islam and Muslims? They see your trophy on your head and they see you in a little car on two wheels. Allahu Akbar. And Allah protects. And when I once said this back in Africa, one of the brothers, the youngsters, they came to me laughing jokingly and said, Mullah, you know what? When I did that, I took my trophy off. And said, Allah, well, that's not the aim. That's not the aim. We are still Muslims. Allah, so, the idea here is we need to know the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he was traveling, when he was walking, he was very helpful, very, very helpful to Muslims and non-Muslims. There are narrations in the hadith which prove to us that he assisted the elderly, even though they were non-Muslims. And even though some of them spoke against him, he still helped them. sometimes they do not know who he is, who he was. And he still has the mighty master. There are so many incidents. Obviously, that's not our topic today, but I'm sure we heard of the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sisters, the non-Muslims, so that they saw the beauty of Islam. They saw the beauty of Islam, and they were drawn towards it. It minimized their hatred, and ultimately made of themselves Islam. All the power was the past before. We know that. We know that. And the first few to accept were the greatest. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. He said it very clearly. The rank of Muhammad is not the rank of the Allah, but they are both very high. Muhammad Rasulullah is Allah. So, that is as far as the warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes. And I have also spoken about, because today we drive, we would apply that to say, don't rush. When you drive, think properly, you know, drive consciously, and hear it, the rules of the road, so that you don't bump into others. That is the dignified Muslim. Ask yourself every time, when people see me, am I a true living example of this religion? Will they get a good picture of Islam or a bad one? Now if we are, for example, so rude on the road, and we are flying from point A to point B, not giving way where we are meant to be away, then what picture do we give of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding of what they mean. Let us move on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his speech, we spoke about his method of walking, we spoke about his method of breathing. Let us think about his sleep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the things we do most. That's what I'm trying to speak about today. Things we have to do, whether we like it or not, we have to do. So how can we make it such that we earn a reward? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept, he taught us that the night sleep is better than the day sleep. Though he himself set a certain time of sayyuna that he used to sleep through the day. That was at the later stage, not from the very beginning, at the later stage. He set aside a little time where he used to sleep, possibly about half an hour. There is difference of opinion of the ulama as to exactly where it is. Did before, did after all, so I will not get into that. But I will just tell you, there was a certain sayyuna, I'm sure a lot of us know about the sayyuna, but we love it as well. But at the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that at night we must sleep. The Quran says that in so many verses, Allah has created the night for you to rest. Allah has created the night for you to rest. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, if you do not have anything beneficial to do after Salat al-Isha, go to sleep. You know, we have a difficulty, and I'm sure because we are living in a westernized world here as well, I'm sure we have the same difficulty. A lot of the youth, both men and female, when we find them turning away from a path that we would like to see them upon, if you think about it carefully, most of the sins are committed after Salat al-Isha. So if you were to tell your child, listen, my dear child, I trust you. But there's only one thing I need you to do, and that is, be home at sunset. You find 90% of the problems will be solved. Because those who spend drugs, a lot of it happens in the darkness after Salat al-Isha. Those who go to the nightclub, a lot of it happens in the nightclub, it's not a day club. You don't get a day club, I've never heard of it. Those who go to commit dinner and so on, a lot of it will probably be happening at night. So if we were to say, night at night, we'd be solving the problem of our children, possibly a lot of them. That is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, we ourselves need to complete. And the doctors, medicine has already proven that if you were to sleep early, you know they say, it's the same, 30 to bed, 30 to rise, you can do that. So what happens is, if we were to go early to sleep, we would find this is much more quenching for our sleep. And if we were to sleep late, when you sleep early, you get up fresh. When you sleep late, you get up groggy. And if you don't know, you feel like, let me sleep a little bit, but it's already there, I need to go to work. If you come out to Qadr, you know, this is how man is. If you come out to Qadr, I need to get up fast, let me go to sleep. Why? Because I don't have to report. There's no harm in going to work. But if I don't go to work for 7 o'clock, how far can I wait? I'm on my way. Possibly, it's just not coming. How? Let me be done. Let me sleep in. What is more important? To go to where to bring your budget? We need to answer that question. We know the answer. To go to school to get our budget? What is more important? I know what you know. What is more important? Allah is going to help me to bring your budget. This sound will help me for as long as I'm breathing, maybe. So, it's important we realize when to sleep. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the 19th. Where to sleep? We can't just find ourselves here and there. We sleep in our bed. Bed is set aside for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really protects our chest. We should not find ourselves in the bed of others. Allah protects. And what I mean here is immorality. People who engage in adultery and fornication, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects this ummah. It is a sin that has become fine. And it is something that results in temptation. So, dinner, adultery, fornication, result in inflation. In fact, the eating of riba, when people begin to eat interest, that results in inflation as well. And dinner has another result, and that is sickness. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's look at one dua. He says, Allahumma fa'an al-ghala wal-ghala, wal-riba wal-dinner. He says, oh Allah, keep away from us inflation and that. Well, wala is sickness. Keep away from us inflation and sickness. So yes, may Allah keep away from us inflation and sickness. But we continue to say, well, riba wa dina. And keep away from us interest and dina. Now the Muhammadin have spoken about this dua because they are related. So he who eats interest, or the community who eats interest, you will find inflation in those economies. And the fact you can see in the world today. And those who commit dinner will find diseases over the day and Allah protect us. And our offspring, and our brothers and sisters, inshallah, and our family. So Rasulullah knew where he slept. He never ever, we know, and he taught us never ever to sleep in the home. And then how much to sleep? The Prophet Allah and he never spoke about that as well. How much to sleep? He himself, he slept as much as was needed, but his need was far less than mine and yours. Sleep in an ibadah, it is an act of worship, because it gives you taqwiyah. It strengthens your body and prepares it for this day. Without sleep, your body will be weak. When you leave Fajr, the day you have not slept at all, the concentration in your body will not be as grand as when you have slept. So it's important we realize an act of worship. Sleep enough. We also be taught when you sleep too much, you will want to sleep even more. So those who sleep for 7 hours, they need 7 hours, or those who need 8 hours, if they sleep for 7 hours and 8 hours, they will find that they are healthy. The minute they sleep for 10 hours, if they are resting the 7 to 8 hours sleep, that 10 hours will make them feel sick. And if you make them feel lazy, they will not want to even get up after that. We need to learn this. What regulations? I want to tell you this. Obviously, we can speak about so many things, inshallah, on another occasion. What really regulations? We have to be actually here. It's very good.
إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا مكتوبا.
Definitely, Salah has been prescribed upon the believers as a fixed thing. The Mufassirin have written about this word mawqutan. Mawqut, that which has been put into time, that which has been placed in slot. Why? In an explanation, why? Because it will fit your own day. First, walk out of modification. Yes, there are certain countries, like the country, where sometimes it is a little bit awkward because of the time. But it recommends your day. What does it teach you? It teaches you what we would term sa'adati, regularity, uniformity. That is what makes you more healthy. A person who eats every day, you know, in fact, I think it's important that we speak about the food of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, possibly tomorrow, inshallah, when I speak to the ladies, I will go to the food because then we'll be there. So, inshallah, I don't guarantee that, but if I remember it tomorrow, inshallah, maybe one of the brothers can be mentioned. We will speak about the food and the eating of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very important. But getting to what I am saying now, if you regularize, you will have better health. Definitely. Those people who eat on a regular training every day, they are much more healthy than those who don't have a fish diet. I'm hungry, let me mind something, so to speak. Let me just try to eat. That is what it. The Prophet of Allah taught us about fasting. You know, to fast is so regulatory, or it regulates the system so much that we are punished on a weekly basis. Fast on a Monday, fast on a Thursday. Possible. Sunnah was so lost for us. Fast 3 days a week, a day, a month, inshallah. The 13th, 14th, and 15th of the Islamic calendar. It will help you. And the hadith says, that the hawa of the Islam is the holy heart. You must not just fast like that, because you know what people tell you. Every day, sunnah. Why? Because the Prophet of Allah wants to ensure that at a certain time we ate, every time, that's what we ate. And as soon as you fast, la yazalu an-nasu bi khayrin fil hadith, that the people will continue to be making goodness, ma'ad-dalu bil-salih. So the Prophet says, make that you fast as soon as the time will come. You must put that thing in your mouth. So we make sure that's what we eat again. Very important. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a timetable for eating. We make a regular in our salah. We make a people who can walk in the correct manner, drive our motor vehicles in the correct manner, bicycles, what have you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us use all these in a manner that will give the correct image of Islam. For ourselves, our own benefit, and as it is, in intention of people to do the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may he also make us from among those who can speak correctly in our homes and outside, in the workplace and so on. We really need to be the best of people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, our need to have the knowledge in our community, more than our need for food and drink, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you know that
Thank you.